Glad to see each one of you here today. Have a subject that from time to time all of us need this. I know I do. We go along in life and then life presents something to us that is difficult. And life sometimes brings us disappointments. Life brings us to places that are less than enjoyable sometimes. Sometimes we feel that we're kind of struggling. I don't know if you feel that way this morning. It's not that I feel like I've struggled more, I'll put it that way. I always have some little hiccup you got to push against, but there's times that you just feel like things have went wrong, a lot of wrong. And I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians. Got a couple scriptures that we're going to read this morning, and I would like for us to get a hold of a couple points that I believe will help. It helps me, and I trust it'll help you. I was thinking about this and how that I believe that the Lord, our Savior Jesus, and His Father God, the one that is the creator of everything, I believe that they want to help us. I believe God wants to help you. I believe He wants to help me. I'm at a stage in my life that I want to be there for my children. I want to be there to support them. I want to be there to encourage them. I'm not there to make sure they don't splash the mud holes or that they don't do something else that I feel like they shouldn't. I'm there to just be dad and be supportive to them. And if they need an ear to listen, I want to be there for that. If they need a little help, that I can contribute, I want to be that. And I want us to know that the God of heaven wants to be there for you. So I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. We're going to begin reading in the first verse. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Now, we could say this morning, we could address this same thought to the folks here at Webb City, and we could say it's also to everybody that lives in the state of Missouri or Jasper County or the United States. Really, it goes to the whole world. And you notice here that Paul refers to himself as an apostle, and Timothy, our brother. Another place that Timothy is referred to by Paul as a son. But here he recognizes and accepts him as a brother. He's an equal. He's a peer. Paul being, as far as we know, a considerably older man, old enough to be his natural father, most likely. And then he goes on in verse 2, he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think of when you think of grace and peace? Well, since you hadn't said anything, I'll tell you what I think of. Grace seems like a time when you're able to withstand some bumps in the road. I've got a little reserve, if you will. It's one thing for somebody to say, for maybe my wife to let me know, you need to stop by and pick up something from the store. I called her yesterday. I was in town, and I said, do you want me to pick up anything while I'm in town? Now, sometimes when I'm called, make that phone call, she says, yes, I have a list. And that's when I need to pull over and make a list sometimes. But yesterday she said, no, I think I'm good. She kind of went through some of the things that typically I would pick up, and she said, I think I've got it all. And, but if she gives me the list, you know, one of the things that, this is where I'm going with this, and Grace, if I've got extra money in my wallet, I'm not worried. But if maybe the last time I looked in there, there wasn't much in there, and she gives me a long list, it's like, well, I don't know if I got the money or not. We got plastic like everybody else does, but the thought of grace, when he says grace and peace, I'm thinking about us having the emotional reserve to handle some of those little things that happen in life. And this is what he says. Grace be to you. I want you to be equipped, in other words, to handle some of those reoccurring disappointments that happen in life. We all have them. We have disappointments when we get up and things don't turn out quite like they should. Maybe the dog got out, or you wake up, and I've had this experience. You get up and you go out the back door and really you hadn't had a lot of, you didn't allow yourself extra time to get to work on time, and you look out and, well, that calf is on the wrong side of the fence and I've got to go out there and get it back in. Well, that's a reoccurring thing. It happens once in a while. It doesn't matter how well you try to keep your fences up. There's going to be a calf that gets out once in a while. Just trust me. And sometimes they go back in, like in places that you don't think they ought to go back in. But we need some grace for times like that. And he says, grace be to you and peace. Peace of, you know, peace is being able to handle those situations where the dog got out, the calf's on the wrong side of the fence, you stump your toe on the corner of the bed, and maybe I'm the only one that does this, but you go into the next room and somehow your hand didn't turn the knob, and instead of you opening the door, you hit the door with your face. You know, when you're kind of sleepy sometimes in the morning, those kind of things can happen. You know, you think that, but Pete, what do you do when that happens? You haul off and give the door a karate kick? I hope not. The Lord's got some peace for us, and he wants us to have grace. When I fail to open the door to go in, and I bump my own nose on the door that I was trying to open, the Lord wants us to be able to have some peace in that. And stop and think, well, you know, my hand and foot coordination just wasn't quite like it should be. Let's back up and try that one again. You know, and when you open the door and it goes, I'm just trying to give us some real life situations, kind of like how my life goes sometimes. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are able to help us because we're endeavoring to live in a manner that he will live with us and in us. He will help us have that extra emotional resilience in the times when things don't go just perfectly right. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. You ever need any comfort? I have. Sometimes you need somebody to listen to you. Sometimes you need somebody to maybe rub your feet or your back. Sometimes you need somebody to maybe do a little something extra for you. He says here, he's a God of all comfort, not just a comfort when you feel guilty, And not just a comfort for some other little peculiar thing, but a God of all comfort. You have something you need some comforting in? You know, there's people out there that look for comfort in many other things, in other avenues. You know, I don't know anything about it, and I'm thankful for that. But I know that there's a brand of comfort in a bottle called Southern Comfort. You ever heard of that? Now, just how much comfort is that? If you get all comforted with Southern Comfort, there's this an abrupt thing at the end of that, that it seems like it's worse than it was before. At least that's my perception. I've worked with people that look to comfort in a bottle, and the next day, or when they couldn't be there on Monday and they showed up on Tuesday, they didn't look like they'd been very comforted. In fact, they looked like they'd been harassed. But they've got some comfort out of a bottle. I want to tell you, this comfort is different than that. This is a comfort that will help you be able to unload your feelings to someone that genuinely cares. You think that bottle cares about whatever your situation is? It really doesn't. We know that. All it cares about is if you just take more and more of what's in that bottle. Verse 4 says, "Who comforted us in all our tribulation." I like that he used the words all, the word all, in both of these verses. He's a God of all comfort. And here he says, "He comforted us in all our tribulations." Not just the ones happened when you were disappointed, not just the ones when you were rejected, but in all our tribulation, that he may be able to comfort them which are in any, that ye, what did he say? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. This is a pretty broad spectrum. God the Father and Jesus the Son is, they are a God of all comfort that would comfort us in all of our tribulations, that we would be able, it says, to comfort them which are in any trouble. Coming to church ought to be a place where people can feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the comfort of God. If you come in here and you feel like that it's a place of tension, it's a place of strife, then I believe we got something to work on around here. Because God is a God of all comfort, and he will comfort us individually in any of our troubles, though, so that we would be equipped to offer comfort to someone else that comes in. There's a lot of people that have come to a church in distress, and they don't know what to do with their problems. Lord, help us to be connected to the Father and to the Son, that is a God of all comfort and can comfort us in all of our personal tribulations, so when somebody else comes our way, we'll be able to shine some of that comfort on them. It says here, he comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Let me share some of this with you. What do you do when you're in trouble? What do you do when you're, no, I can't make those other people treat you the way they ought to treat you. I can't make that situation go right. But here, let me show you what I do. I go someplace and I tell the Lord about it. I tell the Lord, I don't understand why this had to happen to me. And I don't know. And you know, for him to just listen initially is worth a lot. And when you're in distress, those of us, most all of us here have a spouse that are adults. When you have a spouse that will listen to you when you have had troubles on the job, when you have troubles with your family or your the neighbor or whoever it is, and when you know that they will just listen and let you unload, so to speak, your disappointment, your frustration, and all of those things, it's worth a lot for them to just listen. And it's worth a lot for us to be able to point other people to a real God and the real Son of God that will listen to whatever it is that's troubling them. He said here, it says to that we'd be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. I'm going to tell you, that covers a lot of stuff. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know, there's things that people, if they try to tell me, I don't know what to do with. Some people's got bigger, a lot bigger problems than I have. And if they start telling me all their troubles, there's going to come a place that it's going to say, I'm going to have to say, hold on just a minute. You're overloading me. We're going to have to tell the Lord about it. We're going to have to let Him hear the reasons that you feel so rejected, the reasons that you feel so disappointed, the reasons that you can't hardly see your way out of where you are right now. But listen, the Lord is a God. When I read these verses, I see the words, a God of all comfort, and that He's able to comfort those which have any trouble. At our place of business, we put try to make it a logo. We fix everything, really. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a pretty wide paintbrush. And sometimes we have to redefine that. Sometimes somebody might want to bring us something that we're not so sure what fits in everything. But you know, what I've found is I can really take any problem to the Lord. And He can offer comfort for anything. But He starts out by listening to us. And then somewhere along the line, He's going to show you some things that you can do to help alleviate it. Maybe some things that'll help you work through the disappointment or whatever it is that you need comfort in. He says, for as the sufferings, this is verse 5, of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That's kind of deep to understand, so we're going to move on. He says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, as it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also of the consolation. So shall ye be also of the consolation. You're going to face some things. I'm going to face things that we need comfort in. And it's going to feel like suffering. But as we learn how to find our comfort in our personal sufferings, we'll be able to offer hope to those around us. When we find a outlet for the things that would drive other people to comfort in a bottle and comfort in a needle or whatever it is, we can learn how to unload those things to the listening ear of an almighty God. And we can learn how to work through those things. And that same element, we can be able to demonstrate that and show that to other people. This is what Christianity really does to help us in our everyday life. Christianity is more than a list of do's and don'ts. Christianity is about bringing reality to life where we can handle the things that don't go right. Because there's a lot of things that don't go right in life. I'd like to go now to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and notice a passage of scripture here. I believe we'll begin in verse 9, Hebrews chapter 4. It says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." I've told the congregation here in the times past about a man that I knew that for a long time I didn't know his real name. All I knew him by was Fine Fine. And we called him that. He was Fine Fine. Because he said that every time you told him something, Fine Fine. And then he might say, "What did you say?" But he seemed to have a, a tremendous amount of peace about him. This verse says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." You know, when we have the God of all comfort working in our hearts and in our lives, we're going to be able to have a rest that other people are going to look on and say, "I don't know how you do that." You're going to be able to have a peaceable disposition when other people are ready to bite nails. I've worked around some people that threw things when things didn't go right. The other day I looked up and I saw this person working on something, and I could just tell things weren't going right because he just kind of stepped back and he looked over to the side, and it was like, I know what's going on in his head. He's thinking about, he's coming to grips with whether do I hit something with a hammer or do I throw something. So I walked over and I said, "Can I help you?" And I was able to give him a little help, and the storm cloud passed away. You know, there's a rest that we can have as a people of God, the God of all comfort. It says in verse 10, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." We can relax and realize that we don't have to fix everything. And that's been a difficult thing for me to do. We can relax and realize I don't have to fix everything. I can realize I can come to a place that I know I can turn it over to the Lord, the one, excuse me, that is a God of all comfort. He can give me a rest. He can give you a rest. He says in verse 11, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." You know, one of our objectives ought to be in life that we would find a connection with the Lord that has, that's the God of all comfort, that we would be able to get in a place where that God of all comfort would fill us with the level of rest where we would have some to share with other people and those we come in contact with. You've heard the expression that a certain person is like a loose cannonball, or somebody that's just bouncing off the guardrails, or they're hanging by a thread. They got a short fuse and all that kind of stuff. Well, they need help, and they need comfort, and they need some rest. But we're not going to ever be able to help them if we don't really have it ourselves first. He said, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest that any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We must labor. We must put the effort out. That's what labor is effort, isn't it? You want to be able to accomplish something, there's labor involved. Whatever it is, all of us that have a work that we do, some of us have occupations that's more labor intensive than others, but everything takes some amount of labor. And he says here, let us put effort into it, or labor, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. If we don't have the rest to demonstrate to somebody else, you know what they're going to say about being a Christian? I don't see that it works. That's what they're going to say. We need to labor to enter into that rest where we've got some of that comfort. We've got some of that emotional reserve where somebody else can come and, folks, listen, you can overload me pretty quick with problems. And I can get pretty anxious not knowing what I'm going to do to fix them. But I have to be able to unload that on the Lord. But the more capable each one of us becomes in taking our troubles to the Lord that can handle any problem, it's what we just read a while ago. He's the God of all comfort for anything. We can enter into a place of rest that the Lord can help us have some reserve. Where if somebody comes and asks something of us, we're not just tapped out. You know what that means? It means I can't handle another thing. If one more thing comes, I'm just going to scream and run off out in the woods. I'm going to tell you, the Lord has a better place than that for us. And I don't know what we need to do to get there as individually, but I know that it says here that there's a rest for the people of God. That's a promise. And he says, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. I like to be able to think that my efforts during the week can allow me to rest some. I don't always, but that it would at least allow me to if I'd take advantage of it. It says, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I've always been impressed with that verse of how precise the Lord is in his understanding and his comprehension about what's going on in my mind. I can look out and you may be looking at me and you might be looking out the window and you might be looking down and you might be seemingly ignoring what's going on right now. And I can look on and make an assumption. But the Lord really knows. The Lord really knows what's going on in your heart. He really knows what's going on. He knows whether the words that's being spoken is ministering to you or if you're putting up a wall. He knows all of that. He knows whether you're tuning in or tuning out. And one of the things that I find great comfort in, and I would like to challenge us to find comfort in this too, is that he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows what is painful. He knows what's fearful. He knows what's troubling. He knows what brings you anxiety. He knows what causes you to wake up in a cold sweat, so to speak. He knows what causes you to be distressed on any level at any time. And what was the other verses we read? He's a God of all comfort. You've been disappointed this week? You feel grief this week? He knows how to help you with that. I heard a minister say the other day, I was listening to him on one of the Church of God preaching, he said, when we want to try to comfort someone and help them, we'll go down maybe to Walmart and buy a card that's got the verse in it that seems to fit the occasion, and maybe we write a little note in there, and we give it to them because we care about them. And all the time we realize that what I'm fixing to hand them comes up short. It doesn't, I mean, yes, it's a good gesture, and please don't stop doing that, but it's a good gesture, but in all reality, we know that when we hand them a sympathy card or whatever it is, that our words really can't do everything. It just doesn't meet all the needs. But there's a God who can. There's a God that really knows exactly what it takes to meet your needs. That's why I find it's not creepy and it's not scary for God to know the thoughts and the intents of our heart. When we are endeavoring to labor to enter into that rest, it's such a wonderful thing to know that God really understands exactly why I feel rejected. He knows exactly why I feel disappointed. He knows why I feel anxious. He knows why I feel fearful. And He's able to be a God of all comfort in any situation. It says, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, which is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't turn loose of it. Don't turn to the comfort in a bottle. Don't turn to the meek, beggarly elements of this world, thinking that pleasure, thinking that stuff, thinking that possession or whatever it is going to give you the sense of fulfillment. Don't turn away from it. Let us hold fast our profession. I want to challenge us to labor to enter into that rest. It says in verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's one word I want us to get out of that verse. I never had it really be emphasized to me or inspired to me quite like this before. He says, the double negatives in there can make us be a little bit, kind of set us off on the wrong foot, so to speak. But what it's saying is that we have a high priest that's touched. It says we have not a high priest which cannot be touched, which means we have a high priest that is touched, all right? And that's Jesus. But notice what He's touched with. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Did you know all of us have feelings, don't we? I don't care how rugged and tough you are, you still got feelings. And I just want us to know this morning that the God of all comfort is touched with our feelings. You know, there's times in the past especially that I have tried to instruct my boys that feelings weren't the most important thing for them to be concerned about. And I've told them, it's too far from your heart, it's not going to kill you. I've said that to them multiple times. I've told them to suck it up and let's move on. This is not the end of the world. And I've told them other things that's caused them to realize that their feelings wasn't going to change my decision. And there's a reason I did that, because I want them to be able to be stable as an adult. I want them to not give in to their feelings too much, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ is touched with your feelings. God Himself is touched with your feelings. I may not get it. You may try to describe your feeling to me, and I may be tempted to say, it's too far from your heart, it won't kill you. To me, it looks like you're being trivial. I don't know. I will tell you that in some areas, people would probably say you're just not a very sensitive person. I want to be better. I want to portray the love of God to people around us. And I want you to know that God, and our high priest, Jesus Christ, is touched with your feelings today. You got feelings of sadness. You got feelings of rejection or remorse. You got feelings of disappointment. You got feelings of loss, missed opportunities, unfulfillment. You can just keep adding to the list. Whatever your feelings are, do you know that Jesus is touched with that? And He can administer a comfort that I can't administer just because I'm human and I have a lot of limitations. But I want you to know that God is touched today with your feelings. He's a God of all comfort. And He's able to equip us in a manner that will help us understand any trouble. All comfort. Any trouble, and He's touched with your feelings because He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. I don't know how else to say to you that God loves you and He cares about you. He wants you to be a well person, a whole person. He wants you to be able to demonstrate to those around us that God loves mankind and that He wants others to come to Him and experience what it's like to have a relationship with God and to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He's touched with your feelings. He knows how to comfort in a way that I don't know. I want to do better, but He knows how to comfort. I want to read some words to a song. It's song number 180 in our songbook. And I want you to notice the words that the author penned. He says, when my soul is oppressed with the sorrows of life and the thought of the morrow alarms, makes me fearful. With my care-laden heart, then I flee from the strife and I weep out my woes in these arms. Have you ever wondered or wanted to get away because you was hurt, because your feelings, because of something? Have you ever wanted to get away? It says here, when I want to flee from the strife, I can weep out my woes in His arms. If my best efforts fail, though my friends may reprove, when I sigh for their solace in prayers, you know there's feelings involved in that, it will work for my good if my Savior I love. If I will cultivate and labor for that rest, it will work for my good if my Savior I love. He assures me, He knows, and He cares. Though in trial I suffer, he keeps me content, sees before me the dangers prepared, and in mercy his wisdom the flames may have sent, that my soul greater woe might be spared. Yes, my failures he knows. You know it's good to be able to be open with the Lord. He knows where we failed. Probably knew it before we realized it. Yes, my failures he knows, and my sighs and my tears, and the depth of my bitterest woes. By the deep consolation he brings for my fears, I'm sure that my dear Savior knows. Now notice the chorus that we sing at the end of each one of these verses. Just to know that he knows, that my Lord understands. And his look of compassion to see soothes the pain in my heart. It's a balm for my wounds, bringing comfort and peace unto me. Just to know that he knows. Have you ever wanted somebody to just know? To just not hear your feelings? To hear your troubles? Jesus is the one you can tell those to. Labor to enter into that rest. Ask the Lord to help you know how to be in a place where you can lay out your troubles before him and steal off in that closet and let him know the things that's causing you distress. I want you to know that God is a God of all comfort. He's there for you. He'll be there for me. And I don't know what life holds for us, and I don't know what you might be troubled with today, but he can look right down into the thoughts and intents of your heart, and he knows your feelings. He knows where you need comfort, and he knows how to bind up those places. And you can tell him, Lord, I don't even like it. You can tell him the things that cause you the deepest pains, and he can start ministering a healing, because what's happening is you're unloading your troubles to someone that cares. Because remember the verses we started with, that he's a God of all comfort, and we can take any trouble to him, not just the troubles of not liking your in-laws, or not just the troubles of being rejected on the job, or not just your troubles of this or that or something else. You can take everything to him, whatever it is. And not only can you do that as an individual, he wants us collectively to begin to have more of his comfort in reserve. So when somebody comes in and they start telling us all their troubles, we can listen. You know, that's the first step, is listening. I've tried to cultivate being a listener. Sometimes I feel like I'm more successful than others or less successful, but that's the first place, is to be able to listen. Can you listen? Can I listen? I want to tell you, all of us have our limitations, but God does not have a limitation. We can take all problems, any time, and we can say, Lord, I just got to tell you, this is what I'm feeling right now. I don't know what to do with it except to tell you, and this is what I'm feeling. You pray for me. I want to have more of God's comfort to be able to share with other people. And if you're hurting today, I want you to know that God loves you. And you can take your troubles to him, and you can pour out your heart before him, and you can tell him, Lord, I don't know what to do with the rejection. I don't know what to do with the pain. But I want to leave it with you. I want you to help me some way, somehow, from where I'm at right now. You pray for me.